Improving our soil's health also has many environmental benefits. Improved water quality, reduced soil erosion, and lower greenhouse gases, emissions, just to name a few. The focus of this partnership is really on demonstration farms, and we'll expand on that in just a moment. You know, these demonstration farms are going to show innovative ways of management. Now, just like, you know, we always tell people there's no such thing as an average year in farming. No 2 years are alike. Same way, no two farms are alike. Based on that, what we want to do is we want to demonstrate that there's no single approach. So we're taking this on as a multiple approach to demonstrate some of these ways to improve soil health. Now, key to this is the farmers, is these demonstration farmers. And what we've looked for is those farmers who are well respected amongst their peers. Part of the demonstrations, as the term would imply, is they're going to practice, put in place a practice, and then talk to their neighbors about that. We think we've seen over time the best way to have these practices adopted is farmers talking to farmers. Farmers want to see this actually happen out there in the fields. So this will focus on field-sized practices using the equipment they have or the equipment they will need to keep their farms in production. Now, over time, we'll be collecting data that'll help reinforce this message of these are profitable ways to improve soil management and improve soil health without, you know, having any kind of economic drain. To help us with this, we've assembled a science advisory council of leading experts, both government, academic, industry, and in environmental groups to help direct this research at the farm level. But NCGA can't do this alone. And we're very happy to have partners in this like Monsanto and the Walton Family Foundation. So based on that, I think I'm going to turn this over to some of our partners and really let you all see what this is about. So, Michael?
Okay. Thanks, Paul. We couldn't be more pleased to be here today and to be a part of this partnership. I want to say at the outset that I tremendously appreciate the leadership that NCGA is showing on this topic. Their members and their board and their staff have really, I think, taken a step in a direction that is going to be very exciting. As many of you know, Monsanto is also committed to sustainability. 5 years ago, we articulated a vision of producing more, conserving more, and improving lives, and that you need to do all three to support a sustainable future. And this project, I think, epitomizes that. It's about producing more, creating more productive potential in the landscape, conserving resources, and addressing some of the environmental challenges we have around agriculture, and improving livelihoods, starting with farm communities. And that's where our employees and our customers live, and we care about their health and well-being. The focus of this initiative is on the soil, and perhaps more poignantly on the rhizosphere. And there's a great need for us to better understand the potential of both the productivity and the environmental benefits that can come from some of the new management practices that are being promoted today. Things like cover crops, things like different nutrient management practices, things like residue management practices where the stover could be perhaps harvested and we could do some things on that landscape to still improve the soil health. For Monsanto, we've made a 5-year commitment of both funding and in-kind technical support for this partnership. This is going to be long-term work, and so 5 years is at least a good start on what we think we need to do. We really appreciate the demo farm approach. This reminds me of the days of no-till, when we had a lot of challenges of equipment and sequencing operations and things like that. I think the integration of things like cover crops and doing things differently with nutrient application is a major operational challenge. And I think other farmers are going to have a lot of influence on how this can scale. I was at the National Cover Crop and Soil Health Meeting last week in Omaha, And there they talked about how we've now reached something like 2 to 3 million acres of cover crops across the U.S., but the goal by 2020 is 20 million acres. Well, if that happens, our field sales organization, our scientists will be encountered with new questions about how to manage these crops, how to terminate them, questions about disease vectors and whatnot. This is why we want to be a part of this partnership, because at the end of the day, we need to learn, just as leading farmers are learning, how to integrate some of these new practices, and that's why we're a part of this. At this time, I'd like to introduce Sean McMahon with the Nature Conservancy.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning. The Nature Conservancy is very privileged to be the technical advisor to the Soil Health Partnership and also a member of the Science Advisory Council. The Science Advisory Council has some of the country's leading experts on best management practices like conservation tillage, cover crops, nutrient management, and also ways to measure soil health. The Nature Conservancy sees the Soil Health Partnership as a tremendous opportunity to demonstrate that producers can simultaneously increase their productivity, their profitability, and their sustainability. And we're particularly excited about the potential for the Soil Health Partnership to help improve water quality throughout the Mississippi River Basin. The Nature Conservancy is very much committed to our current regime of voluntary conservation incentives, and we think that the best way to maintain our current freedom to operate is to demonstrate water quality improvements at the watershed and sub-watershed scale. Improving soil health has the potential to rapidly improve water quality, but in order to do that at scale, it's very much incumbent upon us to help demonstrate the value proposition to producers, you know, to show that improving soil health is economically beneficial to farmers. We think the Soil Health Partnership can do that, and that's why the Nature Conservancy is so excited to be partnering with Monsanto, the National Corn Growers Association, producers like the Cowsers, and many, many others, and lend our technical expertise and resources to make this effort a success.
Well, thank you, Sean. And now, as I mentioned, this really is about the farmer, so I'm very proud to introduce Bill Cowser. Bill and his son Tim farm in Nevada, Iowa, and they really are the cutting edge of innovation, and that's what we're looking for here. Guys are willing to try something new, are well-respected in their community, and can demonstrate this to their fellow farmers. So with that, Bill.
Well, thank you very much, and it really is a privilege to be part of this group. And just to give you a little background here, back in the early 30s, a man by the name of Elmer Paul started our farm there, and he opened his farm up to Iowa State University, where many, many students came out and did projects. And when we had when I had the chance, or Nancy and I, to move there and start farming, we decided that we were going to keep the same philosophy. So I know many of you have been out there over the years, and we have opened our farm up to Iowa State students or any student that had a project or a professor, whether it be in livestock or crop production or seed production. So over the years, we've been very involved in seed production with Monsanto. We've been very involved with ethanol industry with Lincoln Way Energy. And now with DuPont, we're building one of the first cellulosic industry plants right next to us. And through that comes cellulosic collection. It also comes maintaining soil health. And I think all of you must know that when we set out on a project like this, Tim and I are representatives of our farm friends, our farmer friends. We are representing that industry. And I think that's very important. It's not Tim and I, it's us, it's we. And we hope we can take this out to the Environmental Protection Agency. I know I've spent a lot of time in there the past couple years, you know, just telling them what we're doing, being proactive, and sitting with Nancy Stoner, Gina McCarthy, Elaine Galinsky, and helping them understand that we are doing the best thing possible out here. But also, we're sharing with them four words that to us, without these four words, they mean nothing. And the first one is renewable. It has to be renewable. The second one, it has to be environmentally friendly. The third one, it has to be sustainable, and I think all of us today are wondering what sustainability really means and how do we define that. But the fourth one is profitable, and we find out by being profitable, the other three fall in line with us. So when I look at this program that's going out ahead of us now, when I started farming in 1977, I had a toolbox. I had a crescent wrench, a pair of pliers, a piece of baling wire, and a hammer. And I look at the succession plan today that we've put in place, and I've been very lucky to bring Tim back and help him start with this. And, you know, I challenged Tim with, how do you take our farm as farmers to the 21st century? Because I got to start with horses, and now I get to sit in a tractor that drives itself. So, Tim, it's up to you and your generation now, because I've got a lot of Velcro strapped on my rear end, and I'm ready for the ride. So, you know, a few years ago, I was at a conference with Willie. We see Willie sitting out here, and he kept talking about this cloud. And, you know, I jumped in the combine this fall, and Tim had it set up, you know, here's an iPad, a 2020, John Deere's regular monitor, and we're pulling a baler behind the machine. And, you know, I'm a 59-year-old farmer starting to shake going, Tim, I don't want to touch anything. He goes, well, don't. Just do this. So we're very excited as farmers and fathers because we can afford to bring our kids back today. And, you know, when I started in 1977, the first farm I rented, I went home to Dad and I said, Dad, I rented a farm. And the first thing he said is, where are you going to get the money? Well, today we have that opportunity. So I'd like to turn it over to the next generation here, my son, Tim.
It is a little different landscape today. You know, my dad talks about his first toolbox. Well, mine is a computer with a software update, and that planter doesn't roll unless that software is updated. So it's a little bit different just 35 years down the road. I think what we're talking about here today, getting down to more of the details of the program, this is not something that's very radical, that's very out there. This is very real. Okay, we have planters that are being released that can go 10 mile an hour. We're going to spray beans this year with dicamba and 2,4-D. This is not something that is dramatic, that is totally unheard of, that's risky. And so I just want to put it in perspective in that manner. I can't sit up here today and tell you exactly how everything's going to look and work out in 5 years, but it's not a huge risk, and there's so much benefit to be gained from it. And I think that's why working with Monsanto is so important, is that we need to benchmark this. We need to figure out how to measure it, because it's not something easy to measure. The way I look at it is, you know, no-tillers have been improving soil health for years, but where no-till doesn't work, we don't have that tool. We don't have a way to improve soil health. Well, now we're kind of thinking, hey, this might work. So this is a way that non-no-tillers can improve soil health, improve water quality, and get some of those same benefits. Along with that, you know, with all our soils, we soil test them. And there's a lot of different tests you can do today to figure out the health of your soil, but it's a living, breathing thing. It dies off, comes back. How do we prevent it from dying off all the time? Let's keep it alive longer throughout the season and try and get an economic benefit from that. So this is a good program. Very excited to be a part of it. Thank you. Yeah, real quick, there's a couple pictures up here. This is one of our farms here we seeded this fall. Now, I want you to note that we seeded this. This is a seed cornfield, Monsanto seed cornfield. We seeded this with a high-boy sprayer, and it didn't rain for a month. So this started to germinate about the September 20th, and it was seeded a month before that. So we had enough growing degree days after September 20th to produce this amount of cover crop. We've done no tillage to this field. Come this spring, we're going to – it's annual crop, so it's radishes and annual rye. So it's going to be brown and killed off this spring with no chemical. And we'll just come in and no plant soybeans into it. So it's a very easy system, doesn't take a lot of work, and it's low cost. Another shot of the field. So we're all about roots, and the more roots you can get, the more yield you can get. And that's what we're trying to improve. So root digs are very important throughout the year. We want to eliminate compaction layers. We want to get below that 6-inch depth, get fertility deeper in the soil. And I think a lot of it pertains, too, to our nutrients, how we apply our nutrients, what form they are, making sure they're pH balanced, that we don't provide these huge pH swings in our soil. That sets it back, slows it down. We need to be more consistent, keep that soil alive longer throughout the season. And that's going to include more side dress, late season application.
Thank you very much, Tim. With that, we'd like to open it up now for any questions you might have. So,
could I make one more comment here? You know, one thing that this really plays into is Secretary Northey's nutrient reduction strategy. You know, this is a huge benefit when you sit with EPA and they wonder about the hypoxia. This is exactly what we're doing so that it can be voluntary and it's not going to be regulated. We need no more regulations. So this is right on the cusp of what you're trying to do, Bill, and thank you very much for your leadership.
Any questions? Yes, sir.
And there was a lot of skepticism among some of the leaders in the long-term advocates of soil health and cover crops about Monsanto and other seed companies suddenly diving in. And can you talk a little more about Monsanto's commitment? This is rather than having this becoming a marketing tool for Monsanto, becoming an actual commitment to the company long-term.
Sure, great question. So, you know, just to be clear, we don't offer cover crops for sale, you know. But I think that this is the kind of thing where we need to learn more. We need to learn how these cover crops can be integrated into traditional corn and soybean production areas. And so I think we have a learning curve ourselves. And, you know, part of the process of engaging here is just learning how do these crops kind of integrate into the traditional crops that we're selling today. But we're also looking at new innovation pathways, the ways that we can have data services help us do a better job of making decisions on the farm. We've been investing now in some microbial and ag biological products that give us a pathway to think about soil health in some new applied methods. So I think that this becomes a very interesting way for us to, without being a cover crop seed producer and provider, to be committed to helping our customers understand how to start to manage these crops.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
I would say probably number one is labor savings. Getting away from tillage, that's a big one. But at the end of the day, it comes down to yield and profitability. So if we can do this and we're setting county yield records or we're somehow seeing an advantage from it, they're going to be very eager to jump on. So especially with markets coming down. Everybody's looking for how do you cut 10% out of your farming budget? What's the first thing you cut? Most guys would say fertilizer, but you can only do that for a year until it negatively impacts your yield. What can you do long-term to cut 10% out of your farming budget? This fits really good into that program.
How about, just as a follow-up, with the water quality initiative that you guys have in Iowa, is that going to have some resonance with cover crops as well?
I think it should. We need to start monitoring some of our tile line water, but a lot of it goes back to what the State Department of Agriculture has done and what ISU's done in putting those management practices in place that you can do the nitrogen stabilizers. Every time you apply nitrogen, it needs a stabilizer. You're not treating the nitrogen, you're treating the soil. You're slowing it down to convert it to nitrate. So these are easy steps that we can begin to implement that don't cost a whole lot of money. And then application, timing. We need to get more efficient in applying later in the season. That's hard to do because our infrastructure is set up right now for a fall apply or early spring apply system. And that's not going to be an overnight transition, but it will come because there'll be benefits to it.
And you know, as the economics, as we all see prices are going down, how do we as individual farmers compete in that zone today? Because it is going to get more difficult. Now, we're very fortunate to have a livestock operation because we have that diversity. But, you know, I'm a tillage fanatic. Tim, it just drives Tim crazy because, you know, you till it. That's how you get rid of the weeds, you till it. Well, I'm making that transition because today we have the tools, the chemicals, and the processes to use, whether it's radishes and rye or whatever. So I'm excited about this. You know, I really don't want to sit in a tractor any longer than I have to because I want to be at my feedlot.
I have time for one more question. Done? Okay, well, with that, I thank you all for coming. I encourage you to visit us both at soil health partnership.org or down at the booth on the trade show.
And a learning session
tomorrow. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Sean. And also, there is a learning session tomorrow morning.
8:15.
At 8:15. So thank you very much for coming.